Time for our regular weekly visit with Peter King from Football Night in America. Peter brought to you by Verizon Fios, Shaw's, and Star Market, and by Always Health Partners. Peter joining us right now. Hello, Peter. How are you?
Hey, Dale. How are you doing?
Doing great, thank you. Give us a national perspective on the imminent demise of Tom Brady.
Oh, I don't know. You know, every time something like this happens, in my opinion anyway, every time there's a game that is terrible, everybody wonders if that's the end of the Patriots, not necessarily the end of Brady. And I just look at things over time, Dale, like, you know, a few years ago, the time they went to Kansas City and just got killed. And, you know, there have been other games like that. And you just sort of say, it's a 16-week season. And if that happens 3 weeks in a row, then it's time to worry. And as far as how Brady has played, I mean, he obviously hasn't played as well as he did last year overall. But I do think the one X factor in all this is that, look, if you're sort of handing the ball off to a different guy most weeks, if you have no idea, even when you have Rob Gronkowski on the field, what version of Rob Gronkowski you have, it becomes sort of difficult. And it's a rotating cast of characters with the wide receivers. You got to get Josh Gordon up to speed. I don't know. I can't, you know, I look at a game like that last weekend and I just say, this is a combination of no Gronk, a rotating cast of characters, and the fact that aside from playing a pretty good team, which Tennessee is, Mike Vrabel's got the answers to the test, the same way that Matt Patricia has the answers to the test. So I wouldn't be all that concerned about it, really.
Now, Brady's numbers, if you just take a look at him through 10 weeks, aren't bad. You know, and you know the quarterback rating is a 95, which most seasons, Peter, would be pretty good. But this season, there are, I think it was 14 quarterbacks with a quarterback rating over 100. It just seems to be easier and easier for the video game numbers, whereas Brady seems to be kind of treading water as far as that's concerned.
I mean, I think compared, what's going on is that, you know, everybody, every quarterback, you're right, has video game numbers. And so, I mean, the record for completion percentage in a season is 72%. Drew Brees is at 77.6%
right,
through 9 weeks. I mean, it's totally absurd. So what does it mean? How do you compare all these things? How do you judge one player against what he did last year? I don't see a big issue, at least now, because I don't think you judge anybody based on four quarters. And that's why I saw a bunch of the game and I just said, it's not their day.
Do you believe that National Football League owners will blackball Le'Veon Bell as some people think they've done with Colin Kaepernick?
No, I don't think so. Somebody will pay him. It only takes one, Dale. It's not like he hasn't done anything political. I just think he's done something stupid contractually. You know, I don't know how in the world you say, yeah, I'm gonna not make $14.5 million this year, and don't worry about it. I'll make it up somewhere down the line. He's not gonna make it up down the line. He thinks he is, but I think one of the problems with the running back position is that we've seen that of every position, of any position in football, it is the most replaceable. You're the most replaceable at the running back position. And all you have to do is look at 2017. The 67th pick in the draft, Alvin Kamara, was the offensive rookie of the year. The 86th pick in the draft, Kareem Hunt, was the rushing champion. I think I've always thought that somebody is going to pay Le'Veon Bell. But will he ever make up $14.5 million? I don't see it.
And then even right in Pittsburgh, I mean, James Conner, you know, a third-round pick is having a good year replacing Bell.
If Le'Veon Bell had come back, you know, James Conner is a guy who basically would have made 125th this year of what Le'Veon Bell is making. It's America. He can do whatever he wants. And I'm sure he's happy with the decision. I would think he is. But I think in retrospect, 10 years from now, he'll look back and say, that's money I never really saw again.
Now, he played under the franchise tag last year, and I remember he was quoted back in January saying if he's franchised again, he's going to sit out the whole season. And he stuck by his word because he did. Should the Steelers have figured out a way to trade him and gotten something for him for this year?
I think that would have been the smartest thing to do. But the problem with that, as I see it anyway, problem with that is that you don't have the ability sometimes to get something significant or something that you deem is going to be worth your while, because think about it. All along, the Steelers have been very sure, in essence, because of what Le'Veon Bell said, that he was coming back and the cavalry would arrive with 7 games left. So, if you have budgeted $14.5 million, then wouldn't you say to yourself, okay, it's worth $6 million for us to have the Le'Veon Bell insurance policy in place as we go down the stretch of the regular season and go into the playoffs? Art Rooney II and Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin all thought he was coming back for the stretch drive, and that's basically why they didn't trade him.
We've now all seen the footage of some Pittsburgh Steelers players basically looting Le'Veon Bell's locker yesterday. Do they really dislike him as much as it appears?
Dale, there's evidently come out today 2 versions of that. One is that it was kind of a joke, and the stuff that Le'Veon Bell really wants, he'll get back from his locker, and guys were doing that as sort of a joke. But then the other part was exactly as you say, that because these guys fell out of love with Le'Veon Bell, they took great delight in taking things out of his locker now that he's not coming back ever, I wouldn't think, to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But what I think is likely to happen is the stuff in that locker that he really wanted will be boxed up and sent to him somewhere by the Steeler equipment guys. I think the truth will come out at some point, but I think there are 2 versions coming out of Pittsburgh yesterday and today.
Chiefs and Rams, which could be the best regular season game all year long, was set to be played in Mexico. We all saw footage of the field, so they're moving from there to L.A. But going forward, are they going to try to still go back to Mexico? Are they going to find another place to go, or where does this thing go from here?
There's too much money to be made on a per-game basis when they play in Mexico. When Tom Brady was there last year and when the Raiders were there, it was the biggest thing in Mexico in months and biggest sports event in Mexico. And this is a country that lives for soccer. And this would have been the exact same way. Maybe not quite as intense because they don't have the same sort of following as teams like the Raiders and Patriots do and the great Tom Brady coming to town. But I do think the NFL will go back there. When they do go back there, probably next year, they'll go back and spend not maybe a month trying to figure out what can we do about the grass in this place. They will spend months on it. And I also think the biggest problem here, and this is a little bit turf management problem, but there is a new grass that's been developed. It's a combination of artificial turf and real grass. And when you bring in sod, you actually have to sow it into the artificial turf that is there. It's kind of an arduous process. So most people who said, hey, just lay new turf in there, lay new sod in there. That's easy enough to find. There's sod farms in Mexico all over the place. But it isn't that easy in this particular case. This new turf was installed last May. If this had been a year ago, I think the Rams and Chiefs would have ended up playing there. They would have ripped everything up out of there and just put in new turf and they would have kept the game there. But with this new way, new turf management system that they have, it was just going to be too hard. But I guarantee you that there's going to have to be some assurance before they ever schedule a game there that there's going to be some way to monitor the grass before they end up agreeing to go. But can I give you one other little interesting note in this?
Mm-hmm.
So in making calls about this, the one thing I found out is that the Raiders, when you are between cities or between stadiums, like next year the Chargers and the Rams and the Raiders all will be, they are beholden to the league. They have to play one of their games on the road, either in London or in Mexico. So the Raiders have already petitioned the league office next year to be the Mexico game because they want a 4-hour road trip. They don't want a 13-hour road trip to go to London. So there's going to be tremendous interest, if only for logistics sake, in playing a game in Mexico City in 2019.
Isn't Mike Kensel, he of Deflategate fame, in charge of international events for the NFL?
No, a guy named Mark Waller is. He's the executive vice president for international for the NFL. I don't know what – I know Mike Kensel still works in the league, but I don't know what his role is right now.
Final question before we let you go. Cleveland Browns GM John Dorsey was talking about his search for a new head coach. He said, and I quote, "I just want the best possible head coach to move this thing forward, regardless of age. It could be a woman. I'm serious. We're going to look at everything," unquote. He's just being PC here, right?
He has to be. That's the first I heard of that. I mean, that's being nice. It's being – Dorsey's a bit flip, a bit flippant. And so I would expect within 5 years that there would be a full-time female position coach in the NFL. I don't know that there will ever be, like, you know, Becky Hammon with the San Antonio Spurs. I have a feeling she'll be a head coach in the NBA at some point. I get the feeling because everything I read about her and hear about her is that she's superb at her job. So you would think that she would get a chance, but and I'm not saying it'll never happen in the NFL, but who possibly would you foresee interviewing seriously for a head coaching job as a woman right now? I mean, I could see a woman, as I say, being a position coach and climbing the ladder starting fairly soon in the NFL, because there are four or five women who have been in teams' camps, and I've talked to their coaches, and they love them. Bruce Arians loved, I think it was Jen Walter, who was in their camp like maybe 3 years ago. He said he thought she was absolutely superb. But, you got to climb the ladder here.
Peter, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks Peter.
Peter King joining us from Football Night in America.